This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Just checking out Twitter right now. Must be nice. Just retweeted my man Ralph Hughes, who tweets a picture of himself, quote, sitting in Cancun listening to Jim Rome. Must be nice, Ralphie. Attaboy. Sure you earned it. All right, so we move into hour number two, 1-800-636-8686. We had 49ers GM John Lynch on last hour. Coming up next segment, an NBA draft prospect, Dylan Windler. Next hour, Howard Beck. 8 days until Smack Off 25. Yeah, baby. Let's get this. I wish I could do it today. Yeah. The silver anniversary Smack Off. 8 days out. I'm trying to get you a Smack-Off player profile later on today. Caleb in Green Bay is the guy that I'm thinking about. If I have time, I will jam that in there. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Some quick hitters and then my thoughts on what happened in the NBA yesterday. Dear Jim, U.S. Open, please. I prefer ugly golf courses with no trees, gray grass, 4-foot-high weeds, 50-mile-per-hour winds, signed British Open purist guy. Drew in West L.A. The thing is, Drew, if he were really a British Open purist guy, I mean a true purist, he would just call it the Open. You know this, Drew, right? You should. Hey, Jim, Koepka has a great personality and encourages us to watch. Signed, Insomnia. We're Marshawn, being a dual member of the Rat and Giraffe family. Signed, RG and Peoria. You can't be a part of something that does not exist. There is no rat family. There is no giraffe family. All right, there was a rat family back in the day. I would deny its existence, except the internet is in ink. You can find it. It's there. I've tried to scrub it. I can't get rid of it. It's there. Yeah, do you by any chance have that sound from earlier in the week when Koepka did his presser, his media availability, when he was going on? If you can find that, great. If not, I'll paraphrase it. This guy's got a lot more personality than he's getting credit for. Granted, he was a little stiffer in recent years. This guy's loosening up. He's getting nice. I love him saying that, you know what? The one thing I can't stand are when guys are around me and they're throwing their clubs and they're crying about the course. We're all dealt the same exact hand. What are you crying about? I'm not here for it. I don't want to hear it.
I've just been never one to complain, make excuses. It doesn't matter. Nobody wants to hear anybody's excuse. I find it annoying even when I play with guys and they're, dropping clubs or, throwing them or complaining. And I'm like, telling me how bad the golf course is or how bad this is. I mean, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It's just something we've all got to deal with, and if you play good enough, you shouldn't have a problem.
I mean, so look, the guy's not exactly elk, right, in terms of personality. But at least the guy, but who is, number one. And number two, at least the guy's real. At least what you see is what you get with Koepka. At least the guy's not fake. He's not phony. He's not insincere. No names mentioned. Hefty.
Hefty.
At least what you see is what you get with Koepka. And the guy is starting to let it go. He's starting to let it rip. I like that. Also, how about the fact that there was a series of promos for the tournament, and somehow this guy did not end up in one of the promos? He also had a hard time believing that.
I actually didn't see it for a long time. I a bunch of people on Twitter, I think, tagged me in it, in the promo, and I guess we're amazed that I wasn't in it. So then I just clicked on the link and saw it and watched it. And just kind of shocked. They've had over a year to kind of put it out. So I don't know. I don't know. Somebody probably got fired over it or should.
Or should. So this guy's got a lot more personality than he's getting credit for, RG. Stephen Crowtown tweets, Not to toot my own horn, but I was pretty long on the tour. Signed Joe DiMaggio. All right, so Joe played Major League Baseball. Why? I don't follow that, Steve. PJ in the Mile High tweets, I love that you are talking St. Louis booze today. Signed, Tony La Russa.
R-S-T-U-V-V-Z-T-U-V-X-Y-X-Z.
Oh, so close. No, I didn't say St. Louis booze. I said St. Louis blues. And finally, dear Jim, we're not really sure how to handle this type of situation, so we're just going to go ahead with our victory parade. Signed, Boston. Casey in New Hampshire, non-chowed. Unwore the massive line, snaking around my local Dunkin' Donuts every morning. That place sucks.
Donuts.
You tell that to a chowed, and that's a reason to go. You tell that to a chowed, you're going to get the hands. I'm not saying that. I'm not the biggest fan of it. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's not bad. It's not great, in my opinion. I don't really get it. At least my experience there, I don't really fully get it. I'm more of a donut star guy. Donuts. Donut star rules, man.
Donuts.
Donut star. Kind of a SoCal thing where I live. Love the star. Where do you get your donuts? Are you a donut guy? Or do you only slam lean, clean protein? Krispy Kreme, react to me. Dunkin', Winchell's. What is that funky place in Portland? What is it called? It'll come to me. It's called, wait a minute, let me think. What is it? Voodoo Donuts. I want to hear from a voodoo donut practitioner. How about one of the pastry chefs from Voodoo? Let's get weird, baby. Randy's in Inglewood. Remember that place with that gigantic donut by the Fabulous Forum? I freaking love it. Spud Nuts. Oh, 818 for life. When I grew up in the 818 and I went to Calabasas High School, we used to all bust out to Blinkies. Freaking incredible.
Donuts.
Are you a maple or chocolate guy? Bear Claw, react to me. Not about the sprinkles. They're whack. That's a kid's donut. If you eat donuts with sprinkles and you're over the age of 6 months, you suck. Donuts rule. Don't do it a lot, but be sure you do it. You know, the whole Dunkin' Donuts thing, I mean, it's regional. Let's not get started on that because then we're going to be into the whole hamburger thing too. In-N-Out. In-N-Out, I'm telling you. St. Louis, how you living? You did it. You did it. Went into Boston. Nobody outside your room gave you any shot whatsoever, and you did it. You finished. What an awesome win. Hey, Boston, back to you for a minute. How you living right about now? Actually, don't answer. I already know the answer to it myself. Not that well. Because losing game 7 at home is brutal. And it's painful. Especially when you just assume the win. Especially when some of you just became Bruin fans earlier this week. To gravy train your way to a title. Now you're waking up dazed and confused because Boston is not supposed to have nights like that. And you're desperately looking for the receipt so you can return that Bruins sweater that you bought on Monday to prove how much the Bruins mean to you and how much they've always meant to you for the past week or so. So now you're out there feverishly tweeting out a pic of Tom Brady and his rings to make yourself feel better and to prove that last night didn't really hurt that much. But it did. You know it did. I know it did. You thought you had that. And you blew it. I get it. But yesterday was not just a bad day. Not just a bad day because of the Bruins, but also for the Celtics. That said, there is no reason for you to kill Jason Tatum on Twitter the way that you did after he celebrated the Blues winning with this tweet. Check out Jason Tatum. He tweeted, quote, St. Louis forever. It's his hometown. He was hyped. Of course, Boston fans handled that about as well as you expect them to, immediately smashing the reply button and screaming, trade him. Trade him to New Orleans now. Give me Anthony Davis for this guy. And quote, hope you're in New Orleans next year. Yeah, that's smart. Because trading him just because he rooted for his hometown hockey team, that's a great idea. A really great idea. And a really great basketball idea. Oh, and about this notion of trading for Anthony Davis. Yeah, you're not going to like this either. I would not get too attached to that idea because Rich Paul, AD's agent, has made it very clear Davis does not want to go to Boston. He wants nothing to do with y'all. He made that very clear. How clear? This clear. Paul told SI, quote, they can trade for him, but it'll be for 1 year. I mean, if the Celtics traded for Anthony Davis, we would go there and we will abide by our contractual obligations and we would go into free agency in 2020. I've stated that to them. But in the event that he decides to walk away and you give away assets, don't blame Rich Paul. End quote. Yeah, you can't make it much clearer than that. But then again, knowing Danny Ainge, and knowing how the market will work this year, there is a distinct possibility that Boston still goes ahead and tries to make that move for Davis. Because they know that the places he does want to go, like the Lakers, cannot afford to waste another year waiting for Davis. And that pretty much no star wants to actually go where he wants to go. And sometimes they actually want to stay when they get there. Like Paul George, maybe even Kawhi Leonard. Oh, and then there's that part about how bringing in Anthony Davis would give Kyrie Irving a reason to stay. But then there's the news that Kyrie won't opt in with the Celtics, which is not a surprise. And the news that he's gone over to Roc Nation as his agency, which is a surprise. And then, if you want to get out your red string and your bulletin board and fully connect the conspiracy theories, Roc Nation was founded, of course, by Jay-Z. Jay-Z is a former part owner of the Nets. But wait, there's more. The president of Roc Nation is Michael Yormark. His twin brother, Brett, is CEO of the Nets. So, the moment all of that came down, everyone pretty much photoshopped Kyrie into a Nets jersey and called it a day. What I'm saying is, bad day for Boston. Kyrie opts out, changes agents, pretty much packs his bags. Rich Paul tells the world, don't trade for AD because it'll only be a one-year rental. Jason Tatum hypes the Blues, and the Bruins lose the cup on home ice. Bad day for Boston. All right, when we come back, NBA draft prospect Dylan Windler is my guest. Howard Beck, next hour. Hey, are you taking good care of your car? Show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts that you need to get the job done right. From measuring tools, mechanic wire, motor oil, to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes, to filters, fluids, and fuses. O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It is one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. And if you need something, the store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help you out. If you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped right to your home or to a store. You want to buy even more stuff? Then become an O'Reilly Rewards loyalty member. You'll earn points every single time you shop. You earn 150 points, you get a $5 reward. Keep going. Earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, you get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
A What's cracking? Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Having a great Thursday. Smooth and easy. If you're on hold, stay there. Those phone calls are coming up. As promised, we're joined right now by a former Belmont wing. Two-time first-team all-conference player. A finalist for the Julius Erving Award and the Lou Henson Award. 21 points, 11 boards, 2.5 assists per game this past season. In fact, the only player in America who averaged at least 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 2.5 assists. 36 career doubles, double-doubles. And you've got the 2019 NBA draft coming up next Thursday night in Brooklyn. Dylan Windler is my guest. Dylan, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Listen, we're about 1 week away from the draft, and you've been going through the draft evaluation process, right? Working out with teams. First things first, what has the entire experience been like? Is this something you can enjoy and have fun with, or is it just part of the job?
It's definitely a grind, this process, you know, after the combine, getting ready up until the draft. You're on the road for about a month straight, going from team to team. Some days you have a day off, some days you do a back-to-back. So it's definitely a tough process as far as physically and also mentally. You know, it can be stressful at times, just going in and out and trying to mentally prepare yourself for each workout. But you try to have fun with it. Sometimes that's hard because, obviously it's a job. It's a job interview each and every day. So it can be stressful, but try the best you can to have fun with it.
Dylan Windler joining us. All right, so if we were to go back a little bit to high school in Indianapolis, because you were by all accounts a really good golfer, you were routinely winning events. What was your golf game like at that point? And early on, were you actually thinking that maybe golf might be your focus?
Yeah, no doubt. Early on in high school, my first 2 years of high school, I was honestly probably more focused on golf than I was basketball. Going into high school, I kind of had to make a decision on what I wanted to focus on, whether it was golf tournaments in the summer or, going all in with a AAU team. So early on, my first 2 summers, I actually decided to do the golf route. So I was in a golf tournament every weekend throughout the entire summer. I was focusing on that. I was, trying to get offers to go to college to play golf. And I still obviously played high school basketball. I was getting better each and every year and started to get a little taller and had a really good junior season. So I was thinking, I want to try to get on AAU team, kind of see what opportunities I can give myself there. And I was fortunate enough to get on a good AAU team. And I was able to get, 20 mid-major offers in 1 weekend. And really from there, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. That's kind of where I wanted to go, and that was the path I wanted to take, and I didn't really look back from there.
Dylan Windler joining us. Now, in terms of that AAU team, we're talking about Indiana Elite, and that's a program that produced guys like Eric Gordon, the Plumleys, the Zellers. It's a team that's loaded. So how much action were you seeing when you first joined, and then what was that experience like?
Yeah, for sure. It was a tough experience for me at first. I was fortunate to get on that team to be able to get those opportunities to be seen, but like you said, there were some really good players on my team, and they've been together for a long time. And it was my first year stepping in. So early on, I was like the seventh or eighth man on the team. I came off the bench. I didn't really get a lot of playing time all the time. So I was just trying to stick through it and stay strong and just do what I could to show myself in a good light. But there was one weekend where some of the guys got invited to an Adidas camp. So I got the opportunity to start, and I played, a lot of minutes that weekend. We ended up winning the tournament, and I went from having zero Division I offers to about 15 or 20 in 1 weekend alone. So my recruiting process was definitely, it happened all very fast, and it wasn't a very long process for me at all.
That's wild. I mean, that's actually pretty heady. You got to keep yourself ready because you get the opportunity, you make the most of it, you win the tournament, and then you get all those offers in a single weekend. And then ultimately you committed to play at Belmont. So what was it about that school and that program that made you feel like that was the right place?
So they had been in contact with me previously in high school about my sophomore year. They came and saw me practice and work out at my high school. So I'd been in contact with them a little bit before, but they never actually offered me until the summer after. So I know them a little bit, so I decided to take a visit there, just tour the campus, talk to the coaches a little bit, get to know some of the guys on the team. And Just from the jump, it felt like it was a really good fit for me. You know, as far as, you know, the way they play, you know, they had a winning tradition. I wanted to be a part of a winning culture. You know, all the guys on the team were great. The campus was awesome. The school was great in a great city. So it all kind of just fell in line with me, and I thought it was a good fit as far as basketball-wise. So I actually, from the time I got the offer to when I committed, it was only about a month and a half. So I jumped on it pretty quick.
Dylan Windler joining us. The NBA draft coming up in about a week. You know, you made the point that a lot of guys do get offers from big-time schools, and then they end up sitting on the bench for 4 years because it's not necessarily a good fit. So if you were to give advice to young players, what's your message? Is it all about the right fit and trusting that the league will ultimately find you if you find the right fit?
Yeah, no doubt. I said that time and time again throughout this process. You know, I'm a good example of it. You know, obviously wasn't highly recruited, but I found a really good fit for myself. You know, I was able to develop my game and flourish in this system. And, you know, and some guys, you know, probably more talented and have more upside than me coming out of high school and maybe put themselves in not as great a position and maybe, you know, didn't get to play as much, or even maybe they played and they were limited to what, you know, what they could really do just because the system that they were in. So it's really important, you know, to find a really good fit for yourself, not to just go to a big name school because you got an offer from them, or, you know, listen to what other people are telling you to do, or just because, you know, maybe they're alumni from there. They want you to go there for certain different reasons. You really got to ultimately, you know, really, you know, focus on yourself. And it's kind of a time to be selfish, and just because you got to look what's best for your future, and ultimately finding that best fit is going to do that. And like I said, the scouts are going to find you regardless of where you're at. I mean, they're finding guys overseas, so I'm pretty sure they can find guys in mid-majors, comes down to it.
To me, that's great advice. That's a really, really good point. And in terms of the right fit, part of that is the right coach. You had a guy in Rick Bird who is an absolute legend as a head coach. He announced his retirement in April after 33 years and more than 800 wins. So what is it about him that made him special as a head coach, and what kind of an impact did he have on you?
Yeah, obviously he was a heck of a coach. I mean, you got to be a great coach to get, you know, over 800 wins. You know, he had a great time at Belmont in his years there, and he kind of built the program up from nothing, you know, going from NAI Division II all the way up to being a powerhouse in the mid-major level. So his resume speaks for itself, but just the way, you know, he led, you know, us, and the things he taught us on and off the court, just I think I matured a lot in my 4 years there, and a lot of that is thanks to him. So I'm glad he was able to, you know, get that 800th win and get that tournament win and go out on top, and I'm extremely happy for him.
Dylan, before you go, let me ask you about the tournament itself. You break out. You had a huge senior season. You lead Belmont to an at-large berth, and then the first tournament win in school history. Temple had really focused on shutting you down in that game. So how special was it for you and your teammates to make history the way that you did?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Obviously, yeah, Temple did a great job, you know, taking me out of the game at times. So I just tried to do anything I could to help our team win. And, you know, a lot of guys on our team stepped up big, some younger guys and veteran guys. And obviously they were a big part of that win. And, you know, the feeling after getting that first tournament win, not only for us and the team and for Coach, but just for, you know, the school and the university as a whole was a great feeling. And, you know, it's definitely a game that we're going to remember for, you know, as long as we live. So it was awesome.
All right, so let me spin it forward 1 week to the draft. You've done the work. You've been putting in the time. What do you think it's going to feel like to hear your name called and know that you have reached the NBA?
It's going to be hard to describe that feeling. Obviously, it's something that you dream about as a kid and you work for, you know, your entire life playing basketball. So it's definitely going to be a nerve-wracking night, but no real reason to be nervous, just because, you know, you're coming to fulfill your dream, and I'll be happy to play for any team that wants to pick me and sees a future in me. And so it's definitely going to be a roller coaster of emotions type night, but ultimately it's going to be a good and exciting, fun night.
It's been a great journey. Great story for you. Former Belmont wing, two-time first-team all-conference player, and again, a finalist for the Julius Erving Award and the Lou Henson Award. You've got the NBA draft coming up in a week. Dylan Windler, my guest. Dylan, great to have you on. Appreciate that conversation. Have a great time with it. Good luck. I'll look for you once you get to the association.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on.
That was fun. Good job. Well done. I love his point too, Dylan Windler, about find the right fit. Find the right fit. Do not necessarily go to the school that's got the biggest name. Don't go to the school because you've got some powerful alumni that want you to go there. Find the best place for you. If you find the best place for you, the league ultimately will find you if it's the right fit and you have the right career. All right, 1-800-636-8686. What I want to do when we come back is talk about Game 6. Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight. What is going to happen? Can the Warriors dig deep? And they're busted up. They're gassed out. Can they find a way to get this thing back to Toronto? Or are the Raptors going to finish tonight? We'll get into that. I want to talk about episode 85 of the Jim Rome Podcast. One of my favorites, Uriah Faber, came up big. That's live. Look for it. Listen to it after the show. Right now, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
SmackOff 25, proudly presented by my friends at Vivid Seats. This year, Vivid Seats is giving every SmackOff caller that makes it on air $50 towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. Now, I cannot tell you who's going to win the SmackOff, but I can guarantee a first-class experience with Vivid Seats because they do back up every single purchase with a 100% buyer guarantee. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit VividSeats.com. Appreciate their support very much. They are our sponsor this year. All right, speaking of the SmackOff, time for another player profile. 8 days until SmackOff 25. 8 days until 8 different watch parties, at least 8 that I know of, are going to pop off around the entire country from Portland. Portland, Oregon, in fact, to Portland, Maine. Now, right now, if you go to my Twitter feed, I've got information for all 8 of the watch parties pinned right to the top of my page. Make sure you check that out. If you're in California, Arizona, Wisconsin, Delaware, New York, the aforementioned Portlands, there is a SmackOff watch party which is going down in your state. I've got all the deets on Twitter right now. Check it out. If there are other watch parties popping up, let me know about them. And as we continue to get closer to the main event, I'm doing my best to profile the field. So far, I've given the treatment to 10 different players. Brad, Mark in Hollywood, Benny, Tyler, Matt, Mike, Mikey DLC, Lef, Sean the Cablin Asian, Broadway Vic. Yesterday, we did Mark in Boston. A number of these guys have shown up after I've profiled them, made the call to the program. I like it. Today, let's talk about one of the Wisconsin participants, Caleb in Green Bay. Because if Terrence in Sierra Madre is not the best to never win one, Caleb has got a pretty damn good claim to that title himself. But of course, that's not the title that he or anybody wants. This dude is out to shake that gloss, to rip a SmackOff as his own. It's going to be his 5th event. Last year in SmackOff 24, he threw it all the way back to 1995 with a phone call paying homage to SmackOff 1.
I would never miss the first annual Great American SmackOff. I knew that 1995 was going to be all that and a bag of chips. So I'm going to hit this competition harder than Natron means business up the middle on first and goal. Let's get after it, Jim. You know why I take a lot of scuds? Because I get a lot of scuds. And you know this better than anyone. There is a long, long line of callers waiting to take a swing at me like I'm a pinata full of welfare checks, spouting the same unoriginal takes, fat, virgin, lives with his parents, but it just goes to remind everyone that your listeners are not clones of you. They're clones of each other, clogging up the phone lines, jamming up the fax machine day after day for years on end. Would it shock anybody when you open up the fish wrap and see they finally caught the Unabomber? He won't be living in some shack in Montana. He'll be like a mechanic in Escondido wearing an extra Sports 690 t-shirt and asking the feds for a drug test drop. Crown, Wisconsin. Huge.
It was clever. Really clever. Not enough to win, but it was clever, and it showcased his creativity. That creativity has made him a top three favorite to win this year's Smack-Off, according to the odds posted at Stucknut.
Over the past few days, there's been a lot of commotion over the Smack-Off odds that you just mentioned, and the fact that your boy is opening the betting as the third choice on the board behind only Brad and Les. Maybe Steve knows something about my call that I don't, but he has my number, so nut. Anytime you want to text me that info would be sweet. But Jim, the best part about it is how pissed off people are getting. I'm obviously trying to have fun with it, but you had two phone calls yesterday from guys in the field voicing their displeasure that my ticket is 5-1. First, it was Rick in Buffalo, and before he started calling the show years ago, I was unaware that it was possible to actually hear bad breath. I bet if I ever meet this cat, I could tell you within 3 seconds who was president the last time you went to the dentist. Jim, this guy constantly tweets about how he's the most interesting guest on the Woodscopes. First of all, that's like saying you're the best kisser in prison. Secondly, the only scope you need to be concerned about is bright green and kills 99.9% of germs. And Richard, as far as the fat jokes go, if I were you, I would not dive too deep into the realm of personal appearance. You look like Scott Van Pelt mated with an Oompa Loompa, then pushed it into oncoming traffic.
Now, it may have taken 5 years, but Caleb is finally getting the respect that he deserves. Respect that he deserved back in 2015, in fact, when he dismantled the 12th man ahead of the NFC Championship game.
In honor of the Packers taking on the Seahawks in some friendly competition on Sunday, I thought I'd take a run at the tree people who live up there in Seattle. The smarmy, skinny jeans-wearing beatniks, and their girlfriends who look like they're auditioning for the inevitable Harry and the Hendersons remake. The people who chain-smoke e-cigs at an Arcade Fire concert and then judge your lifestyle choices. The people who purposely eat vegan cheese and drink lavender beer, and as opposed to the real stuff they make here in the Midwest. The people who worship Chuck Palahniuk and watch Wes Anderson movies with their pants off. Jim, this is a fan base that forgot it even had a football team until the Sonics left, and now all they do is bitch about how much they miss the Sonics. Do you live in Seattle or Cleveland? And now they're going to roll out to the stadium on Sunday in their Subarus and their Fixies. They'll buy their Seahawks program so A, they can figure out which team is theirs, and B, learn the names and numbers so they can cheer when someone makes a score point or a goal basket. Oh, we have the loudest stadium in America. We are the 12th man. Yeah, 12 angry men couldn't beat O.J. Simpson and one of the Kardashians. So pretty sure you're not going to beat Aaron Rodgers twice in one season.
So this guy might seem new to you. He might be an up-and-comer to some of you. He's not. He's been making quality phone calls for half a decade. And between that 12th bag call and last year's Smack-Off call, dude has been putting in the work.
And I've always wondered how Adam Hawk has a worse body than me. Bro, I'm walking around with a front porch that's more like a veranda, but you're the one in the chiropractor's office every couple days. You have the voice of a 20-year-old, the hair of a 60-year-old, and the spine of a 100-year-old. You're like the curious case of Benjamin Topbutton. Yes, Mark, because you're having so much more sex than I am. The wife lets you hit it once every Boston World Series and only to procreate, but somehow I'm the loser because I'm not married. I've seen more intelligent marks at a timeshare presentation. The K stands for the swing and miss that Chad in L.A. will likely take at me later this week. Is it take your grandfather to work day? This guy hasn't been around electricity since the last time he flew a kite in a thunderstorm. But it's cool because if the Stew studio ever gets chilly in the winter, you can ask Charles Ingalls over there to chop some firewood for the stove. I don't know who's going to drop dead first, me from the cholesterol or the new guy from the sudden dopamine rush of his first Twitter notification. We can all see that Keith Arnold looks like Chael Sonnen let himself go, but I would never say that out loud. Caleb versus everybody. I don't want sympathy. I don't want a pity party. Take your best shot, tough guys. I'll see you in my driveway.
Would you rack me? I'd rack me. I'd rack me hard. I'd rack me so hard.
Rack him so hard. See you on the 21st, Caleb. And if 8 days out, you're still wondering what the hell this thing is, what I'm going on and on about every single day about the smack off. Maybe this here will help you.
I don't want to do this. I have to do this. This one is for America. USA!
Shut your punk mouth.
You sociopath.
Pitchy bitch with D-minus smack.
Gimmicky little snitch.
Look me up in the Stucknut take box. Check out my portfolio of dead bodies.
Smack Off 25. Friday, June 21. Remember, the only way to win is to get in.
I'm in the Smack Off and you ain't.
Crack me, Jim. I'll be there.
I mean, you people stink when you wash.
And the prize, $5,000 cash.
And a therapy dog.
This event is not for everybody. In fact, it's for the best of the best.
Bring the entire family circus because I got a clown suit for every last one of them.
We're talking about the upper 1,000.
None of them frighten me, but don't forget about Mona.
He needs to pull his pants up and do something productive in the world, like chew a box of razor blades so he would swallow his own fluids for a change.
Who wants to walk?
A chef from Richmond.
Even if I did have Fleshing disease, it wouldn't be that surprising. I'd want to eat me too.
When the other cheeses have a pot, American cheese sits home uninvited and eats a whole pack of itself from depression.
If I'm going to pay $100 to watch Bill Mickelson play golf, you damn well better be topless.
I'm Pedro Martinez, you're Don Zimmer, and you better get your decrepit fat ass back in the dugout.
Bro, it's a radio show. It's not Fight Club. Settle down, Junior.
From Redondo Beach to Rwanda, you're welcome.
From getting left back in the fourth grade to filing for bankruptcy for the fourth time.
Were you talking about concussions or were you imitating them? I mean, Jim didn't know if you should cut the commercial or slide a credit card between your teeth so you didn't swallow your tongue.
Take out the gimmicks and that call sucked so bad it might have sucked another Southwest passenger out of airplane window. Re-record that, bitch.
It is officially go time. Smack Off 25. 25 is a nice, fat, even number. I might walk off on that one.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
I want to talk about them flaming.
From Radio Yay! Wallpaper.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, really?
It's delicious.
Larry Brown, really? American cheese. It's so depressed, it stays at home and eats itself. American cheese. 1-800-636-8686. Who you got? Who do you like? We are now 8 days off. It is Friday. If I were you, I'd get sick. Or I'd use a vacation day. Do what you got to do. Make sure you set it up, listen to it, or watch it, or do both the right way. Or go to one of the watch parties. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, pulling hard for the Wisco clones in the Smack Off this year. Can't wait for the Green Bay watch party to cheer them on. At TFP Will Eat tweets, Caleb's Seahawks fan impersonation is solid. At Wells in the 360, Caleb is still underrated. Dude spits fire. Could see him winning Smack Off 25 for sure. At the Suave Canuck, Caleb is really good, but come on. Mike in Indy is clearly the best caller to never win a title. Mike has one. Man, so many of you want to give him a half title or to put an asterisk on his title, or like this guy to say he's never won a title. Mike's got a title. Mike has his. Caleb arguably is the best to never win one. Terrence and Sierra Madre is arguably the best to never win one. Terrence should have a golden ticket. Or Terrence doesn't even need like a golden ticket. Like Terrence could call up day of if he could find us, and I would put him on. A lot of you do not know Terrence. Terrence was the best to never win it back in the day. I'd even argue that Terrence never won it. And back in the day, there may have been a time when he was the best caller, period. Even though he never won it. That's how good he was. All right, so I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen this year, honestly. I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know. I don't want to say I don't know who's going to show up because there have been a number of RSVPs. There are certain guys that are invited that I do not know if they'll show or not. Or others that may come out of the woodwork. Last year, the Cabo Nation came out of nowhere. Didn't expect that. At TFPOE tweets, Caleb is the Smack Off's Andy Ruiz Jr. Dude is built like a discarded beanbag chair, but he still has a chance to win. It's actually a pretty good analogy. Like Ruiz, that was a really well-thought-of prospect who had some reps, raps and dings, but nobody ever discounted this guy's talent or said he couldn't fight. And then he shows up on the big stage and gets it done. At Monica's Cheese tweets, Caleb Seattle Smack probably has Hawk ready to lob a salmon at him. Yeah, if it weren't all true. What's Hawk going to say to that? If it weren't all true. All right, so my thoughts on Game 6 coming up momentarily. Uriah Faber made some news when he came on our podcast. I want to reset that also. Howard Beck next hour. Stay tuned.